Morning, good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. We'd like to welcome everyone to this special High Sabbath, which is our special Sabbath to celebrate the gift of life. We are not here to celebrate the death of Christ. We are here to celebrate the life in Christ, which is his death. Of course, was the price paid so that we may enjoy life. As you look in the bulletin, you can see that we put the gift of life, and there is something that you can see in gift, you can see in life, which is the if. Yes, today we'll find out what life is all about and what is this gift of life all about. Of course, we don't have the time to go into very detailed specifics, but hopefully by the time we finish the message this morning, we all be blessed with the fact, with the certainty that we have received such a gift and how we will protect and keep this gift, not only for now, but forever. First, let me ask you a question. What is life anyway? Everybody defines life in their own way, and everybody has a different understanding what life is all about. Some people you ask what is life, and they end up describing what they have accomplished. Some others we ask what life is, and depending on their circumstance, they will define life based on what they are going through. Some people even say life is a misery. Life is a suffering. They are not describing life. They are describing experiences in life. So, but what is life? Is a life an accident of nature? Or is a life a design by a caring, loving, intelligent being? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here in this earth? Have you ever asked yourself, do you know what is the purpose of your life? Why do you exist? Where did we come from? For answers to such questions of supreme importance, humans for centuries have speculated and searched everywhere for the answer, for the right answer. Some scientists have claimed that life is a cosmic statistical accident. Yes, they say an accident. Yes, here, for example, in his book, The Accidental Universe, The World You Thought You Knew, the physicist Alan Lightman explained that in all likelihood, meaning that's the favorite word of scientists, probability, in all likelihood, the universe isn't fine-tuned for our benefit, but rather, human life is only a run-of-the-mill accident of the multiverse. Yes, he did say an accident. As scientists speculate and search for answers based on probabilities, the Word of God provides us the supreme answer to these questions. Only God defines what life is and what is the real purpose of our own existence. Once we discern what life is and understand what is the goal of our journey in this world, then this world will look different and we will be able to recognize the value of our human life. At this moment, when the media constantly reminds us how high is the number of people that have been killed by the coronavirus, over 200,000, 200,005, 200,006, and the number keeps going on. Of course, we know for a fact that not all of those actually died of coronavirus, but this day and age, everybody who dies, they they are quick to label it died for coronavirus. The fact is, if the person died with coronavirus or not, the fact is the person is no longer alive. Have left somebody crying, somebody sad, because life have ended for that person. And if that person does not have a belief in eternal life, that could be the end of everything for that person. So this is the time for us, a very unique time when we should understand what life is and what a wonderful gift life is, especially when it has become so fragile. When we have been put in a situation, when we think that our lives may be taken away anytime. Technically, we are almost as close as one single breath that we take. We may be putting our life at risk. Proverbs 9, verse 11, New Century Version says, and it starts like this, if you live wisely, you will live a long time. Wisdom will add years to your life if the condition we live wisely, then life will last longer. Wisdom will add years to your life. Psalm 16, verse 1, New Century Version also says, you will teach me, you here is God. God will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. Yes, joy, life, eternal life is only in being with God. He says, at your right hand, at God's right hand, I will find pleasure forever. Now, Tom Heyman, he decided to make a study, and he wrote down the result of his study. It's a very unique study about the average American lifetime. He said this, in the average lifetime, the average American spends 3 years in business meetings, 13 years watching TV. An American, average American spends 89,281 dollars on food, consumes 109,354 pounds of food. It makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's. It spends 688.10 in vending machines. Eats 35,138 cookies and 1,483 pounds of candy. Catches 304 colds and is also involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents and is hospitalized 8 times if you're a man, 12 times if a woman, and it spends 24 years of your life sleeping. Moses said something about our average lifetime also. In the Psalms 90, which is Moses' Psalm, verse 10, I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version, who says, we can expect 70 years or maybe 80 if we are healthy. Again, if we are healthy. But even our best years bring trouble and sorrow. Then suddenly our time is up and we disappear. Of course, there are always exceptions because we do know people that have lived long over past their 80 years. But the secret is that if we take good care of the gift that God puts in our hands, we'll be able to enjoy it a little longer. So the gift of God is a conditional gift. Yes, that's why there is if right in the middle of gift, because The G stands for God. Then there is if, and then the T stands for time. That's what Gifted is all about. That's why if it stands before God and time. And that's what makes a gift. If we use properly, we'll have more time. If we don't, the gift, it won't last long. So how was it given to us in the first place as humans? We find that in Genesis 2, verse 7, and I'm reading from New Century Version. It says, then the Lord God took dust from the ground and shaped into a form of a human. Then he breathed the breath of life into this the human nose. And this human, this man, became a living person. So in other words, it is God who shaped us with his own hands. And then he gave us the breath of life. And we became a living person. But how this was lost? Also in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, I'm reading from New King James. And by the way, I have read the Bible so many times and every time we read, we find something new. Something that when we read, we didn't notice, but now we notice. I just noticed something else here too. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Okay, for the children and for the adults, I like to explain that the serpent actually is not more cunning and more smarter than any other animal. That is an expression because, see, the serpent was not actually talking. And children, you understand when you see a dog in a cartoon talking, you know that the dog is not actually talking. Or a bird talking, you know, they are just mimicking, imitating, but it's not. So Satan used the serpent to try to call attention to Eve and Adam because they knew the serpent was not supposed to talk. But they found it curious when they started to be entertained by that serpent mimicking. Satan was behind. And the verse says, and he, Satan, said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is what called my attention. What was Satan trying to imply to Adam and Eve? God creates you, but he's not going to feed you. He created all those trees, there are fruit trees, just for looks. Has God said, indeed, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Then Eve decided to talk to that mimicking serpent, which was actually the devil behind. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. In other words, you're lying. God did not tell us not to eat. Yes, we can eat. And then verse 3, she said, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has told us, you shall not eat this one, at least not now, nor shall you even touch it. If you do, then this gift, this precious gift that I gave you, which is a gift of life, will no longer be yours to keep. You will lose this gift. You'll be thrown away this gift. You will put this precious gift on the trash. And as we know, they decide to listen to a serpent instead of listen to their God. And they lost. They lost that precious gift. Have you ever lost something that is very precious and how it's terrible because we keep looking for it, and it bothers us day and night, especially if it's very precious? You can imagine Adam and Eve, how they felt immediately after they lost that precious gift, the gift of life. The Bible says they went on hiding. When they heard the voice of God, they were hiding. They were so scared because they knew they messed up. But God is so gracious. The one who gave the gift, he was willing to redeem that gift, give them another chance. In Romans 6:23, which was Sister Malia read the scripture for us this morning, in the New Century Version says, the payment for disobedience, the payment for not listening to God, is that you will no longer be able to keep the gift of life. Therefore, you will die. But God gives us the free gift of life again through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The same Abba that shaped them and gave them the breath of life, it now came and gave his breath of life again on the cross so that we could again be taken from the ground and be brought up and receive the gift of life again through Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, the Bible says, and we all know, you can even say with me, for God so loved the world. I like to say it this way, so God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son for my sake, so that when I choose to believe in him, I may never perish, but I'll be keeping this gift of life forever. Forever, this gift is mine. If I choose to believe, if I choose to believe in the one who gives me the gift, and I choose to value the gift that I receive, I will keep it forever. I will never perish. Brothers and sisters, of all the things we think we possess in this world, there is nothing that we actually own. I used to tell people, and they tell me, oh, by the way, do you own your home? I said, technically, I don't. Because when I receive a tax bill, the property tax bill, I know that this home is not mine. When I decide to have to dig a hole in my on the property here, I have to ask somebody's permission. If I want to burn some branches here in the back, I have to ask somebody's permission. So I know that I don't own anything. I paid for it, but I don't own. And that's just the way life is. We pay for it, but we don't own, because we don't own anything. All the best earthly gifts that we have will all fade away. Even our own life is conditional, is a conditional gift. Every life is a gift, is a divine gift, but it's all conditional. In James 1:17, New King James, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Another point that I'd like to make this morning is, how do we keep this gift forever? You know, there are some gifts that are so touching. How do we keep this gift forever? And again, remember what I said about gift is God. And there is if, and there is time. God's time, there is this if, is conditional, because we need to know how to keep it forever. And there is condition. First condition, we need to seek the truth. Professor William Matter Lewis, lived quite a few years ago. He was a professor, a university president. And he wrote some books, and he said this: the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. John 8:32, Jesus Christ said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What basically Jesus is saying here says, if you know the truth will keep you alive forever. You'll be free from the consequence of sin. You have eternal life. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way to that truth. I am also the truth. And of course, if you find the way, you have the truth, and definitely you have eternal life. No one comes to the Father except to me. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to eternal life. I'm the way to the truth that sets you free. 1 John 5:20, New King James also. And we know that the Son of God has come. We know. We can sense. We can feel it. We can believe. And has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. On my notes that I'm looking at, all the Bible verses, I took the time to highlight life, and I put if in red so that it can catch my eyes when I read to you. So every time I see in my notes in the Bible here, the word life, I see the if. And I want you to visualize that as you read the word life. See the if. That if in life stands before living eternally. The if is the condition. That's what if is, right between life. I assure you that whoever hears my word, Jesus Christ saying, the word is saying, Jesus Christ, and believes in the one who has sent me, has eternal life, and won't come under judgment, but has passed from death into life. And the life here means eternal life. It's very important for us, brothers and sisters, to realize that there is no other life that God offers us but eternal. Revelation 22, verse 17, New Century Version, the Spirit and the Bride, which is the church of the body of Christ. So the Spirit and the body of Christ is inviting. Come. Let the one who hears, the ones who hears, say, come. Let whoever is thirsty, come. Wherever wishes may have the water of life, eternal life, as a free gift, come. The invitation is to come if you want to receive a free gift, the gift of eternal life. Another condition is to believe in the Son, S-O-N. John 11, 25, 26, John 11, 25, 26, New King James. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes, or she who believes in me, though he or she may die, he or she may live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then Jesus asked this question to you and I. Do you believe this? As we celebrate in this communion today, as we see the elements, the water, the bread, and the wine, as we see these three elements that comes to our mind that Jesus Christ said he is the living water. It comes to my mind, like Brother Brett used the scripture during the children's message, he is the body of Christ, the bread of life. And the blood is the symbol of life. He is the gift of life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, New King James Version tells us, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. This is the proof. This is the proof that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. In other words, his Son is the evidence that we have eternal life. He who has the Son has life, and he's talking about eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. You may, just like Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. What he means is there are people that are walking around, but they are dead. Why? Because they have no hope of eternal life. They have rejected the gift of eternal life. They may live for a while, but the dead destination is the grave and nothing else beyond the grave. But don't make that grave mistake, my brother and sister. Choose life. Choose the Son and have life. Now, we know when the winter comes and there is snow and everything else, and those that live in the areas where there is snow and all the vegetation looks like everything is dead, and they look for that day when the sun comes up, S-U-N comes up. And when the sun comes up, they look at the ground and all the plants, all the seeds start to come out. Life comes back and everything starts getting leaves and everything else becomes green again. We need to see the sun. And the sun is what brings life. But the sun here is the S-O-N, the Son of God. Galatians 2, verse 20, New King James. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live. You know, I must die so Christ can live in me. So he says, I'm no longer the one who lives, but Christ is the one who lives in me. And the life which now I have in my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I wish that each one of you this morning, before you take the communion, you can say clearly in your mind, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I have right now in my flesh is not really my life, but is the life of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for my sake. Paul gives this counsel to Timothy, as well I give this counsel to every one of you. You find this counsel to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you for, which you have declared so well by the witness that can see that in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, New King James, Paul says, yes, my brothers and sisters, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, an eternal gift of God. In John 6, 47, most assuredly I say to you, my brothers and sisters, he who believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. John says, 6:47, most assuredly, I'm going to read now, I was paraphrased, but now I'm going to read. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus Christ saying, has everlasting life. And to close, Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Christ's sake will find it and keep it forever. I'd like to read for you Christ's invitation to those that come to the table. May the Lord bless you with the gift of eternal life. May the Lord give you the confidence to approach the table and celebrate this gift that God has given to you. We find in Christ's invitation in John chapter 13, verse 12, all the way to 17. New Century Version. It reads like this. When he, Jesus, had finished washing his disciples' feet, he put on his robe and sat down again. And then he asked his disciples, do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, Jesus said, and you're right because that's what I am. Then he starts verse 14 with if. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. I did this as an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. A servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. And again, Jesus concluded verse 17 with the if. Two ifs. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. At this time, we will spend the next 15 minutes in renewal ritual. Why do I call renewal? Because when we go and wash our feet, we should really think about the vows that we have in our baptism when we first surrender our lives to Christ. That's what it is, I call it renew, because this is what Jesus told Peter when Peter refused to be washed by Jesus. And Jesus says, if I don't do this, you have no part with me, Peter. And Jesus said, oh, no. I want to be part of you, Jesus. Wash the whole, let me baptize me. And Jesus said, what has been baptized doesn't need to be baptized again. We just needed to wash the feet. And that's why the foot washing is a ceremony that reminds us of our vows, our commitment, our surrendering to Christ. When our new life become, when we became a new creature in Christ, that's what the foot washing is all to remind us. So now is 11:42. And 15 minutes from now, we would like to, at 12:07, we would like to come back for the continue of our service. So at this time, I'm going to have a prayer. And we will be separated we're going to go and do the foot washing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for redeeming us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much that as we participate on the foot washing, allow us to remember, Lord, how privileged we are that you came, you sent your Son to this earth. And in the waters of the Jordan, as he was baptized himself in our behalf, as he gave us not only an example, but as he became the Savior for all human beings, we ask you, please, as we do the foot washing, allow us, Lord, to be conscious of how gracious you are towards us, to give us this gift of eternal life. And we do this, Lord, to remember, to remind ourselves that life came through the waters. And through the waters, we became a new creature in Christ. And to the waters, we go back again to remind ourselves that we are your property because you purchased us with the sin of Jesus Christ on the cross. We ask these blessings upon your church family. Amen. I'd like to ask everyone now to open your Bibles in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. Brother Brett Aquilina is going to be reading for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Verse 23 states, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We will now have consecration prayer. As we prepare to take of the elements, we will have the consecration prayer, asking for God's blessing on these symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, and read with me the words of Paul. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. And as we partake of the symbols of this holy communion table, we humbly take this bread, representing your body, and ask for a blessing upon it as we partake of it in remembrance of you, for your own dear body was broken for us. May we continue to spiritually feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks each and every day. And may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus to live a life that is honoring to you. And Lord, may we also come to you today in grateful remembrance of what your Son Jesus Christ achieved on the cross for all of us, when his precious blood was shed on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and became a ransom for many. Lord, we share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear Lord, provide each of us the confidence to know that because of these elements that we may never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again, in which glory and majesty, in great glory and majesty, we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. At this time, we like the elements to be served in a house where there is a priest, which is the rule of the husband, you know, somebody who has been consecrated his life to Christ. You can play that role by serving your family. In the place where there is no such situation, we like to serve each other. At this time, let's take the elements. And to remind us, it's those elements, all three elements, because basically the communion has three elements: the water, of course, the bread, which is a symbol of the body of Christ, as well as the new wine or juice, grape juice, which is not being fermented. The bread is not fermented, and the wine is not fermented, and the water is clean, because they're all symbols of the person of Christ. They're all symbols of life. The water is symbol of life. The bread is symbol of to sustain life. One is a symbol of creating life. Another one is sustained life. Another one is to maintain life. Those are the three elements: the creation, the sustenance, and the how life is preserved with the blood. So at this time, I'd like all of you to take the bread. And remember what Jesus Christ said when he looked to his disciples. He said, "This bread is a symbol of my body that has been broken in your behalf." And he commanded them, those that are seeking life, those that want eternal life, here is the symbol, he told them, take and eat. And after they ate the bread, Jesus took the cup and showed to all his disciples, and told them also the symbol, the symbology of what he was about to do. Every disciple understood that the life of the human being is symbolized by the blood. So he was saying that this, it was a symbol of his blood that was going to be shed for them. It was Jesus Christ, the Creator himself, sharing his life so we can have life. And brothers and sisters, remember, it is life who brings life. It's the life of Christ who gives us eternal life. So as the Jewish people always did, and now we resemble them more than ever, because when the Jewish people did this, they all did on the hiding, on their own homes. They will, the father will ask the one of his children to open the door just a little bit, running the risk of somebody outside even know that they were Jewish. They were practicing something that probably was forbidden for them to do, the practicing the Passover. But even though it put themselves at risk, they would open the door a little bit, and the father would tell his children, it's so that Elijah can come and sit at the table with us. Of course, our Elijah is Jesus Christ. So at this time, we ask Jesus, we open the door just a little bit and ask Jesus to come and sit at the table with us. And as they did this, they always have at the table an empty chair for Elijah. I hope that you do visualize that Jesus Christ is now with us also as we celebrate. If you are there by yourself, and you think that you're by yourself, imagine that Jesus Christ is right there beside you. Because when we are in Christ, we are never alone, ever alone. So at this time, I want to ask you, please, to raise your cups and say like the Jewish people did for generations. They said, it was a prayer, it was a wish. And it's also a prayer and a wish for all of us next year in Jerusalem. Take a drink. As they took the bread, as they took the wine, as they have washed their feet, now the Bible says that they had a song and they left. At this time, I'd like to ask all of you to bow your heads for a benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of eternal life. Allow us, Lord, to value this gift. Allow us to live, to believe, and to listen, to hear to the word, and live a life, Lord, that is worth living for. Allow us, Lord, to have a productive life. Allow us, Lord, to reflect the image of Christ in everything we do. Every word that comes from our lips, allow those words to be a living water for those that will hear. Bless, Lord, every step that we take. As we wash our feet, allow us, Lord, to live a clean life, a clean journey. As we choose to accept Jesus as the way, help us, Lord, to take the proper steps. As we choose to accept truth, allow us, Lord, to reach out, grab, and keep forever eternal life. Bless your family. They are now separated in many different locations, but united by your spirit. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.
At this time, we will close today's service with hymn number 65. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. God be with you till we meet again. First, second, and third stanza.
This session is no longer being recorded.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel, guide, uphold you. With his sheep, securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Day daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils they confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. My unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live, my peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy that the world cannot joy to know, joy to live, my joy I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live, my love I give unto you.
But now, my brothers and sisters, be made free from sin, and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. It is and all of you that are joined us, and we are very blessed that you chose to worship with us, to put God first, always God first. As the beautiful Swahili says, Mungu kwanza, God first. And of course, we need to serve others as a result of having God first in our lives. And there's no service that we can provide others better than to share our beliefs, to make new disciples. That is the commandment of God. He says, go and make disciples. And if you love each other, they will know that you are my disciples. May God bless you. May God comfort you. May God give you always the confidence of eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. At this time,